Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. Our guest today teaches classes on what many people would like to ignore: constitutional law, individual rights, and critical race theory. Many times in social discussions, there are elephants in the room that some just want to go away. Well, our guest isn't one of them. He addresses them directly. Dr. Timothy Golden is a professor of philosophy at Walla Walla University out in Washington State. He has practiced law in federal court of appeals and has a particular interest in constitutional law, individual rights, and critical race theory. Dr. Golden, welcome to Life Quest Liberty.
All right. Charles, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with you.
Thank you. This program is sponsored by Liberty Magazine. Dr. Golden, I once asked an aging African-American man if racism is less of a problem now than when he was a child. He thought for a long moment and then said, quote, "In some ways, yes, but mostly it's just different. People are finding new ways to hate," end quote. Dr. Golden, how would you answer that question?
I would say that we have changed the letter of the law, but the spirit or the ethos of the law and the country has changed very little. And this can be intoxicating and very dangerous, because while we can look to certain Supreme Court decisions and see that race and racism are arguably not tolerated in certain ways, if we step back and think about it, racial attitudes have changed very little. I wrote an essay several years ago after the tragic death of Trayvon Martin, and in this essay, I talked about how George Zimmerman's confrontation with Trayvon Martin was akin to a confrontation that Frederick Douglass describes in his 1845 autobiographical narrative between a slave named Demby and an overseer named Mr. Gore. Demby had ran away, and he had gone into a pond of water to help soothe the lashes that were on his body. And Mr. Gore said, "You need to come back." And Demby did not go. And Frederick Douglass actually uses this language. He says Demby stood his ground. And then he watched Mr. Gore shoot and kill Demby. What I argued in that essay was that what we saw in Frederick Douglass's autobiographical narrative was replayed with terrifying accuracy in the vigilantism of George Zimmerman as he approached Trayvon Martin. Now, have we moved on from slavery legally? Absolutely. There was no slavery in 2012 when Trayvon Martin was killed, right? So the legal situation is different. But the racial attitude of George Zimmerman, the audacity to think that you could be outside of law enforcement and make a demand on someone at point of gun to behave in a manner that you think they should behave in, is precisely the same attitude that Mr. Gore had toward Demby. And arguably, it is worse with George Zimmerman, because arguably Mr. Gore is operating within a system of slave law, if you could call it that. I mean, it seems to me only the most sort of crude form of legal positivism would legally legitimize what Mr. Gore did, and that was certainly the case. But here with Mr. Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin, you don't even have that. Yeah. So you have someone who's acting completely outside of the legal process and believes that you can make that kind of demand on a black person in 2012. So my response is that we have changed the letter, but the spirit is almost identical to what it was hundreds of years ago.
Dr. Golden, I'm going to ask you a very personal question here now. You are a professional. You are a learned man. You teach classes at a university. What does racism look like to those of us who are white and have no idea? What is it that we are missing that is in plain sight that is saying, hey, America has a problem with racism?
Well, I think, let's just take police shootings, for example. Mm-hmm. The Washington Post has a database that they've put together since January 1st of 2015. In that database, they collect information on every police shooting. From January 1st, 2015 to December of 2019, 96% of the people who were killed by the police were black men. 96%. That number is staggering, to say the least. I think if you look at that number, and I just got finished making a point about racial attitudes, how many of the racial attitudes of the George Zimmermans of the world abide in the hearts and minds of police officers who we authorize to use force and we grant them guns and badges? And so I would say to a white person of goodwill who genuinely asks the question, well, what am I missing? Just look around. I mean, you would almost have to be blind want to be blind to not see that there is a problem. And so I think that that would be my response. And if you continue to look at a broad range of socioeconomic categories, even if you just look at the coronavirus pandemic, African Americans 3 times more as likely to die from the coronavirus than whites. 3 times. And these statistics, this is not coincidence. You know, there's a saying in the black community that when white folks catch the cold, black folks catch the flu.
Yes.
And that seems, you know, white folks get COVID, black folks die.
Oh, my, my.
Right?
Yep.
And we're talking about a broad array of racist practices that occur in front of people who have white coats and stethoscopes as much as they occur in front of people who have guns and badges. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. I have an essay in honor of George Floyd. It's forthcoming with Lexington Books later this year. And in that essay, I talk about how law and medicine, which are two systems that are supposed to protect people, end up being horrifying sites of danger and death for black people. So there are countless stories of African-American men and women during the coronavirus pandemic who presented themselves with symptoms before medical establishments like hospitals. One woman was a phlebotomist, a black woman. She worked at a Detroit hospital for 30 years. She presented symptoms of coronavirus. She asked to get tested. She asked to get treated at the hospital where she worked. She was turned down. By the time she got tested at another hospital across town, she already had bilateral pneumonia, and after she was diagnosed, she was dead in 3 days. These are real stories. These things happen to real people. There's another black woman physician. She herself was a doctor. She made a video of herself lying in a hospital bed, dying of the coronavirus, because when she presented herself with symptoms as a doctor, she herself was ignored by other doctors. So if you're missing any of this and you're white and you want to do something about it, you just don't have your eyes open because it's all over the place.
Yeah, I like the statement you said, some want to be blind. They choose to be blind. Okay, let's not be blind, Dr. Golden. What can we do if we see this, if we understand it, if it finally gets through to our psyche, what's going on, what can we do?
I think the answer to that question is going to depend on who you are and what your sphere of influence is. If you are someone who is influential in law or medicine, I think that's great. Then I think you can begin to work in your part of the vineyard, so to speak, and do what you can. If that's not what you do and you want to be involved, I think that it's terribly important to be involved in political life. Mm-hmm. Notice I said political life, not necessarily politics, not necessarily partisan politics, but political life. Politics is a social arrangement of people organized under an authority that has the capacity to make and enforce law. Mm-hmm. So for the Christian folk who are listening, when you read the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, you see in Adam and Eve a community of persons, two people, a community arranged under an authority that has the capacity to make law, don't eat from that tree, and enforce it. The day you eat from it, you're going to die. The political is inherent in the Judeo-Christian tradition, and any person who assumes the mantle of Christianity as a follower of Jesus Christ is involved in this notion of a kingdom, which is itself a political reference. I'm not talking about Democrat and Republican. I'm not talking about politics with a small p. I'm not talking about partisan ideology. I'm talking about politics with a capital P, as in the political, as in this idea that from Genesis to Revelation, you see people who are arranged under authorities that have the ability to make and enforce law, and the entire prophetic tradition of the Old Testament that really culminates in the ministry of Jesus Christ in the Gospels is a political ministry because it is designed with addressing the needs of the widow, the orphan, and the stranger and oppressed persons who abide within these political arrangements who are marginalized. So no matter who you are, if you assume the mantle of Christian, and if you are a person of goodwill, you have to figure out what it is that you can do. And the answer to that question, again, is going to be different from one person to another, depending on what your sphere of influence is, what your talents are, what your capabilities are, and how you believe God sees fit for you to use them.
I hear you saying, no matter who you are, what you can do, do something. Is that your message today?
Yes, absolutely.
Dr. Timothy Golden is a professor of philosophy at Walla Walla University out in Washington State. Dr. Golden, thank you so much for sharing your heart with us today. We appreciate that.
Thank you for having me, Charles. God bless you.
This program is sponsored by Liberty Magazine. And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Timothy Golden, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call 443-391-7258 or email us through our website at libertymagazine.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.